God's eternal plan. As in all things, in the matter of redemption, God has had one eternal decree, one absolute plan and purpose, which plan he established before the beginning of time. This plan is unalterable, predetermined, and certain to be fulfilled. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Saviour. Here we learn that God determined, promised to himself. There was no man to whom he could promise, since it was before the ages began. God promised to save all his elect, and this eternal purpose and promise he decreed to fulfill at his appointed or proper time. Or, as the apostle put it, writing to the Galatians, at the right time, when the fullness of time had come. In this regard, we can surely generalize God's word to Habakkuk. The vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And Abraham and Sarah's experience is one small example of the way God always works out his purpose. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived, and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. In what follows, this vital truth must not be forgotten. When I go on to discuss the various covenants in the history of redemption, to talk in terms of the end of a temporary covenant, and to speak of progressive revelation, any hint of a whiff of a suggestion that God is trying one plan after another, or that any part of his plan might have failed, is ruled utterly out of court. God is sovereign, and he has been working out his purpose, his predetermined plan, from the beginning of time, and the tiniest aspect of covenant history falls securely within that irrevocable plan. As Paul told the Romans, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Again, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? The glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret. I am the Lord. I have spoken. It shall come to pass. I will do it. I will not go back. I will not spare. I will not relent. Anticipating what is to come, take just one episode in the long history of redemption through covenants, the exodus of Israel from Egypt. God intervened to ensure that this integral part in his plan for the history of redemption took place on the very day, I repeat, that he had ordained from eternity and promised centuries before to Abram. Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. They shall come back here in the fourth generation. And so, of course, according to the word of the Lord, the time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. On that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. As Stephen could declare, God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others, who would enslave them and afflict them 400 years. But I will judge the nation that they serve, said God, and after that they shall come out and worship me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. As the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt. As the time of the promise drew near, yes, indeed, the same could be said about every aspect of God's eternal decree of redemption, brought about through covenant history. Every promise, every aspect of God's purpose has a time fixed for its fulfillment. God always ensures that every detail is always worked out precisely according to his decree. Nothing thwarts him in the accomplishment of his purpose. Nothing. Do not miss the note of precision in the following prophecy concerning another aspect of the covenant history of redemption. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know, therefore, and understand, that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem, to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. And Paul, opening his letter to the Romans, could declare that the coming of Christ and his work had all been prophesied, and this, of course, because God had planned it from eternity past. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And when writing to the Galatians, the apostle was specific. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And although to judge by events, however black it may look to us, however it may appear that God's plan is frustrated, that simply cannot be. As Paul told the Romans, it is not as though the word of God has failed. Of course not. God's purpose will never fail, can never fail. His decree will always be accomplished, must be accomplished. His revelation in prophecy will be fulfilled. All events throughout all history will combine, God will combine them, see Romans 8:28, to work according to his plan, to bring about his everlasting glory in all things, particularly through the redemption of his people. Paul, concluding a long section on the salvation of all the elect, Jews and Gentiles, burst out in a paean of praise. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory for ever. Amen. No wonder, then, that the apostle could close his letter to the Romans with another thunderous declaration of praise. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory for evermore. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Opening his letter to the Ephesians, Paul laid down the foundation for all he intended to say, doing so in the unchangeable will of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Mystery. God's eternal plan. Paul could say of this mystery, "The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus, as every believer can triumphantly exclaim, God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Saviour Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In short, to maintain that, in bringing about the redemption of his elect, God tried plan A, which failed, and thus moved on to plan B, is so obviously contrary to Scripture as to verge on the blasphemous. Nothing that I write here can be regarded in such a light. God has introduced every covenant in the history of redemption at his appointed time. Although there is a God-ordained inbuilt discontinuity in covenant history, every covenant has remained in place until the time that God's eternal decree had predetermined. Every covenant within that history has always accomplished and will always accomplish all that God eternally purposed for it. The history of all the covenants has been making its progress precisely as God ordained, moving exactly in step with God's timetable, and all will lead to the ultimate culmination. The tautology is deliberate, which has always been God's purpose from eternity past, namely, his eternal glory in the everlasting salvation of all his elect.